May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
I had this Christian history professor in seminary who exuded compassion and warmth in every little thing he did. He was an older professor, and we all absolutely adored him and affectionately referred to his classes as Storytime with Bill. He was the professor who, when you came to ask him for an extension, would first make sure that everything was all right in your life and that your pastoral needs were taken care of first. His comments on papers were thoughtful and encouraging, and he always gave opportunities for students to rewrite and improve. Students were whole people to Dr. Stafford. We were also all future leaders, church leaders of some sort, mostly future priests. Dr. Stafford, like all good teachers, was determined to teach us more than history. In who and how he was, Dr. Stafford tried to show us what it meant to be a compassionate and gracious pastor first in everything. So whenever a student would come late to his class, Dr. Stafford would pause, look up from his notes, and smile, a genuine smile full of warmth, and greet the student by his or her name. It was never in a sarcastic way or purposely shaming, never a glad you could join us. Dr. Stafford was authentically glad you were there, and he wanted you to know. I can say from experience that you got the sense when you came slinking into his classroom that it did not matter why you were late or what had held you up. His gentle greeting said, "Your presence matters. We are now a different class because you have arrived. We are now more whole because you are here." Today's two parables are the first two in a series of three that Jesus tells in response to complaints that he keeps hanging out with sinners, outcasts, and people who screw other people over. Each of these parables end in the same intriguing way. The shepherd and the woman have found what they have lost. So they call together friends and neighbors and say to them, "Rejoice with me. We are now a different flock because this sheep has been returned. We are now a different community because this woman's economic well-being has been restored." And that is cause for celebration. Jesus is giving us a beautiful vision of church in these parables. What is church but friends and neighbors who gather week after week to rejoice that we somehow all made it here? That vision of church is most clear to me in moments like yesterday, when we celebrated the confirmation of 36 youth and adults. We came to rejoice in how much better these young people make our church, how much more whole. I've been thinking a lot about how church school is different from school in my new role here at St. Andrew's. What are we teaching our children and youth that they aren't learning anywhere else? What are our children teaching us? These are vital questions that encourage us to claim the powerful stories and the sacred traditions that have been shaping our community for generations. Perhaps just as vitally, we must also ask the how. How do we teach in a way that says to each child, "We rejoice in your presence. We are here to recognize and appreciate that your value extends far beyond anything we can measure with grades and scores and profit margins. Value that only God fully knows. Now, there are some educators and parents and bosses who will say that Dr. Stafford's overly merciful approach to education just encourages bad behavior, with no consequences for lateness or absence or phoning it in on a paper. What's to stop folks from taking advantage? How will they learn to work hard and meet expectations? In prioritizing enforcing standards of conduct, teachers and authority figures teach those in their care how to follow rules, how to respect one another. Basically, how to not be the crappy people Jesus keeps hanging out with. These are, indeed, lessons more people could stand to learn. Yet I wonder how different the parables would have been if the friends and neighbors had said, "No way am I rejoicing with you. You lost a sheep? You need to learn to be a better shepherd, not celebrate that you've fixed your own mistake." Or the woman with her coins, if her friends and neighbors had said, "Learn to adult better. You need to keep proper track of your money, not throw lavish parties for everyone." Jesus looks straight into the heart of the religious leaders who grumble that his friendships reward bad behavior. He tells them there is another lesson their faith is supposed to teach. See, it wasn't that Dr. Stafford's approach taught us there were no consequences to absences and lateness. In fact, it taught us what the true consequences were. It taught us that when one of us is missing, even just for a short time in the beginning of class, our community is poorer because of it. And when one of us is returned, even if it is as inconspicuously as possible, our community is enriched. Dr. Stafford was here to teach what the church is here to teach. Every single person's presence is positive and valuable. The late person, the unprepared student, the one who's zoning out of this sermon right now, we each add something sacred, meaningful, that the rest of us need. Jesus teaches us that the lost sheep matters to the rest of the flock. We aren't whole without them. The other effect of Dr. Stafford's approach, of course, was that you could never just subtly slip into the back of his class. He refused to let what your presence added to the class remain unacknowledged, which could get frustrating and embarrassing, but in the end was a more truthful way to be. Sometimes it's tempting to see Christianity as all about one's individual relationship with God. Each of us sitting here as our own separate person, listening to the sermon, receiving Eucharist, going on our way, all as private individuals. Just as a classroom, especially a lecture-based one, might seem to just be about each individual student's relationship to the material as mediated to the teacher. In that framework, someone else's lateness doesn't really affect you or your studies. In that mindset, it's just annoying that your lecture got interrupted. But in Jesus' story, the return of the lost sheep is everyone's business. The retrieval of the lost coin draws in everyone who cares about the woman who lost it. In this mode of church, our salvation is wrapped up in everyone else's. We have everything to do with the lostness and the foundness of everyone else, which is frustrating and embarrassing, but also true to being human. You are here. It doesn't matter how you got here or what time you parked your tush in the pews. It is not important whether traffic or missed alarms or squirmy kids held you up. you are here now. We are more whole because of your presence. We are more we. That's more than enough to rejoice.